Thursday, October 2nd, 2006. And this is Stacy Heath interviewing Gloria Steinem. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Could you spell your last name for me, first of all?
It's S-T-E-I-N, like New York, E-M,
okay.
Like Mary.
Great. And I want to verify that you understand the call will be recorded and transcribed and that you'll have a chance to review that transcription before it's submitted to the Walter Reuther Archives.
Yes, that's all fine, thank you.
Great. Good, thanks. Okay. So I know that you were very helpful to 9 to 5 in many ways. You spoke at fundraisers and conferences and lent your, panache and celebrity to lots of events. And I want you to tell me a little bit about why you felt that was worth your time. And I know that there were some specific things, like you walked on a picket line with some telephone workers in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember anything about that? Is there anything you can tell me about that one?
I don't remember specifically about that.
Okay. That's okay.
Picket lines all tend to
blur together.
but the spirit was great. I think there was more than one picket line for 9 to 5 because it was a new organizing effort. I mean, I've walked on a lot of picket lines with nurses, for instance, which felt a little different because the unionizing effort was one of long standing. But this one had a great spirit. I don't remember whether it was before or after the movie came out. Do you?
No, I don't actually.
Because that had something to do with it, because people would sing the song, Dolly Parton's song. It had a joyousness about it in addition to anger and purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was it about the 9 to 5 effort that was particularly compelling for you?
Secretaries are a symbol of, or clerical workers, are a symbol of many injustices. At that time, and perhaps still, a clerical worker or secretary was better educated by about a year and a half than the average boss. The jobs are ideal training jobs for promotion if one wishes to get into a different category of work. You certainly learn the boss's work from that position very well. Yet they were not part of the job ladder. They were regarded almost as office wives. You only got promoted if the person or people you were working for got promoted. and of course, the unionizing effort was new. Then, in addition, there had been a period of time, now past, obviously, when unions themselves, SEIU in San Francisco, for instance, resisted signing up clerical workers. I remember arriving in San Francisco and seeing a big banner, red headline above the banner of the newspaper, which said, I think, sexism strike, because there had been there was a situation in a not unusual situation in city government in which the men who picked up the phone and did clerical tasks in the police department made much, much more money than the women who did the same thing in City Hall. And two organizers, one African-American, one European-American, for SEIU had signed up, I think, 3,000 female clerical workers, and this had been refused by the union. That's a whole long saga, which you should ask Eileen Hernandez about. She could also tell you, because she lives there in San Francisco.
Okay.
So, they had started out, clerical workers had started out with many of the symbols of women's larger problems. Education doesn't help, you're in a dead-end job, you're doing exactly the same thing that men are doing, but getting paid much less, and even the unions are resisting helping you. So therefore, you know, when the unionizing effort began, you know, it became successful, it was a great cause for celebration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was there something about the way 9to5 did this organizing that was different than the way you saw others doing it?
It felt different because it was not an add-on. You know, the question of issues that especially affect female workers were often add-ons in large unions in which there were perhaps a minority of women and more men. And sometimes, as a result, those demands that were of special importance to women got bargained off first. This was clearly an effort in which the needs of female workers were central.
Okay. And how did you see them fitting into the larger women's movement?
Well, they were and are the women's movement. I mean, I don't see any demarcation, because all the same issues affect all of us, whether it's reproductive freedom or equal pay or comparable worth or the problem of having two jobs, one at home and one outside the home. You know, those are umbrella problems that affect everyone to differing degrees, but still affect everyone. So it didn't occur to me to think of, just seemed organic.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there were strengths and capabilities of 9to5 that weren't fully utilized, though?
Well, yes, I think so, because, you know, this is a sort of work that exists everywhere. So the clerical workers inside the union structure itself were often fighting battles, and the clerical workers inside the corporate employers who were the adversaries of the unions were often fighting mm-hmm. the same battles.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that the potential to unify across boundaries, which is very subversive, and tell each other the secrets of your respective employers, was perhaps not, or maybe it was utilized, maybe I just didn't see it, but I didn't quite see it. I mean, I'll give you an example of something that did work, although I think it was a one-campus organizing effort, and I don't remember that it was associated with 9to5. I think it was at the same time that 9to5 was, you know, sort of being born. It was a campus in Boston. I think it was Boston University, we'd have to check, where the faculty women were having seniority problems and other discrimination problems. They, you know, did reports and wrote about it and researched it, but they didn't get very far. The female students were having problems. I think there was perhaps not a gynecologist on staff. I think it had to do with healthcare. They organized, and they were not successful. The clerical workers and telephone operators on campus had enormous work problems. Campuses often pay very poorly for the so-called non-professional tasks that are done, you know, on campus. When the telephone operators joined with the faculty and the students, everybody got some of what they wanted, because no one had cared very much, you know, on campus about the seniority issues. or if, you know, the English department students went on strike, but when not one phone call went in or out of that campus for a day or two, people cared.
Mm-hmm.
So the clerical workers were in a position to really help the other two groups who were organizing, and they were in a position to protect the clerical workers from losing their jobs. That kind of cross-boundary organizing has great potential and hasn't been done enough.
Interesting. Were there instances of that kind of cross-boundary organizing where the women's movement and, where there was a greater integration with 9-to-5 and other efforts in the women's movement, or was 9-to-5
well,
early?
The Boston example I'm speaking of, and again, I'm not sure whether 9-to-5 was playing a role with the clerical workers. I don't remember. But that was the women's movement, if you know. I mean, the idea of women organizing together as women across those boundaries is, what the women's movement is.
Yeah. I guess there's in my mind there's a distinction. There's some kind of boundary where I don't think of this is probably completely wrong. women's movement of being not so much about workers. And the issues that the women's movement was often not about workers. So I guess that's where I have some confusion about what that boundary was about.
What do you mean? I don't quite understand.
The women's movement was focusing more on, let's say, social issues, and that 9-to-5 was part of the economic issues,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a part somewhere in my brain. There's a distinction there,
yeah.
but I hear you not making.
Well,
that distinction.
Yeah, I don't think so because equal pay was the first rallying cry. Certainly an economic issue, and then when it became clear that equal pay wasn't helpful to say nurses who were totally a female profession, then comparable worth became. The next development. I think the only reason I see what you mean, but I think the reason that happened was because the ultra right wing focused on reproductive issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It wasn't that they became more of a public focus because they became the focus of opposition.
And how did something...
But I mean, and I'm thinking, trying to think, I mean, in my own life, just getting paid as a writer was certainly a first issue.
Right. Okay. And how did something like the movie, 9-to-5 movie that you mentioned, did that make a difference in, did you see a difference in how people thought of clerical workers and unionizing and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did make a difference because, was a populist movie with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, and that made people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
It also focused on what clerical workers actually do, not just on a chance for getting promoted out of being a clerical worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was quite conscious, because the 9-to-5 movement informed the movie. I think everything else many other popular depictions of secretaries or clerical workers had depicted them as people just waiting to do something else as opposed to doing an important and dignified and vital job in and of itself. The song really, I would go to... places where 9-to-5 wasn't organizing yet, and you would hear the song. I remember going to a big 9-to-5 benefit in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
where everyone was singing this. It just, in the same way that the civil rights movement has songs that are symbolic and the anti-war movement has songs.
Uh-huh.
This gave a song,
mm-hmm.
you know, to a whole, you know, a whole pool of workers.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's great. You're the first person who's really talked about the song, so fascinating.
Well, I just remember women singing it, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And also I think the way the union started, I mean, consciousness started, I remember Karen Nussbaum talking about what she, I believe, you know, I hope I'm quoting her correctly, but the kind of final straw, you know, when she is... A clerical worker was enduring all these indignities and being overworked and so on, and then someone looked into a room in which she was with a few other women and said, "Oh, excuse me, I thought someone was here."
Oh, oh my God. Oh, my. So, okay. Well,
and everybody can identify with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, it's just like three stories of my own flashed before my eyes right there. I thought, oh, I've been through that so many times.
Yeah, for those of us of a certain generation, you know, we were so aware of the oppression of clerical workers that we refused to learn how to type.
Oh.
We essentially... did ourselves in, because it's important to know how to type,
right.
out of fear that we were going to have this,
yeah.
this oppressive work situation.
Oh, my. Mm. Well, that sounds like a great segue to our last question, which is, how would you describe the legacy of 9 to 5?
Certainly the legacy of 9 to 5 is the visibility of a very large class of worker who was just not visible before, culturally, socially, politically. And, you know, that's very important. I don't know enough about the current situation to know the degree to which this whole slice of the workforce is doing better, or is, you know, that's a question I haven't researched. So, you know, from then to now, I'm not sure.
Have you seen? I don't know how involved you've been with the labor movement in the last, you know, in the period since then. But have you seen any? Would you say there have been any changes that you've seen in?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. You know, in the late 60s and throughout the 70s, we were fighting the unions almost as much as the employers, because they just wouldn't, you know, they bargained away women's demands, or they didn't have any women on any of the decision-making councils, or... You know, I mean, there were a lot of struggles, and the idea that now on national labor union, you know, there's at least a few women is new. It was a great irony always, because women had been, you know, from Bread and Roses forward, you know, women had been. Had been the union movement, you know, but once the unions, some of the unions, some of them were always much better than others, obviously, but once some of the unions became kind of protective associations for particular male ethnic groups, mm-hmm. it became much more difficult.
Yeah. Great. Wow, well, this has been terrific, so I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, I feel as if I should have could have done more homework, but if you you probably have lots of people who have done more homework about the, you know, comparable figures from then to now.
Well, there's the important thing is that we have your voice with what you think is important, and we appreciate that. So that's a great thing to have. I appreciate
okay.
that. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.